Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again.
Yes.
And maybe people know this, maybe they don't. You have quite a heart for missions. You were did some missionary work in a previous life, just like I did. But you continue to do missionary work, and you just recently took a trip to Indonesia, of all places.
Yeah, that's right. When I was a much younger man and had a full set of hair, I did missions work. I was some missions in Sweden and primarily in Romania. I was in there for at least 18 months. Actually, where I met my wife
as well. Your wife is Romanian.
Yeah, she is. She was my translator. And of course, if you spend that much time with somebody who is as beautiful as she is, so fireworks and all that good stuff. And so then, when I transitioned back to the States and got married, drove for UPS for many years. I'm not a very big guy. So then, I had to transition out of that, went into, a cleaning business. From there, I actually went into law. So maybe some people don't know my story, but I actually went back to school when I was 36 and had to get my four-year degree. Went to law school when I was 38 after being married for 13 years and had 7 and 8-year-old daughters. Moved to Michigan to accomplish that. We lived in Michigan for 6 years. So finished my law degree. I also have a master's in taxation at that same time. And came back to the Pacific Northwest now about 12 years ago and built a firm from the ground up. I'm very proud of what I have built. And it's probably been now about 5 years that, you know, as you work really hard to build a practice and build what you believe God has put into your hands, then fortunately, as I built my practice, then some funds started to come my way. And maybe other people can relate to this, but when you start making a sufficient amount of money to support your daily life, it's like there becomes a second vision of, okay, now I don't have to chase after money. I don't have to work to try to get after the dollar bill because I have a little more financial stability. I'm not saying I'm rich by any stretch, but at least I was stable. And as I reached that point in my firm, then the Lord in his kindness and his goodness started to pull back into my heart, really, some of what you just said, which is some of my deeper passions in life, which is now what do I do with my time? How do I give back was really the question. It really came out of a heart of thankfulness of, man, Lord, look at the journey you've taken me on. Look at this incredible journey of your faithfulness to me, of your goodness to guide me to an area that fulfills me. And little did I know that I would be an attorney way back in my 20s, right? And so it's been quite a life journey for me. But out of a grateful heart, I looked around and I said, Father, what can I do? And he began to drop this passion of missions back into my heart and began to stir it again. Because, again, when you start building a practice or a business, I don't care what type of a business it is, you're solely focused on getting that thing off the ground and making it work. I needed to support my family. And so as that began to happen, he then rekindled this passion for missions. And through a series of events, it ended up being that Indonesia was an opportunity that I took advantage of. And
so you had never been to Indonesia until recently.
Well, actually, no, I've been. So this was my third trip. So I.
I went back, Romania and Sweden.
Oh, yes. Yes. Not until 5 years ago did I go for the first time. Then I went the year after that. And then the earth fell off its axis and COVID hit. And so so all that nonsense happened. And now just. In November, for the first time in a couple of years, I was finally able to get back over there and rekindle some relationships that I had built the previous couple of years. Of course, I had been working on a new vision to take there anyway over the past couple of years. You never want something like what happened in our world to stop us from dreaming and being prepared. So I was working behind the scenes, but I couldn't get out onto a plane and actually get there. So I finally was able to get back, and it was a wonderful trip, and I'd love to share some of it here today.
Well, interesting, too, you were telling me before we went on the air that Indonesia is a very large country, and as you walked in the door this morning, I sang the theme song from South Pacific,
right.
Bali High.
Yes, exactly.
That's actually where you were, and Bali is actually the part of Indonesia that you were at.
Yeah, that's right. It's a smaller island, Bali, but it has become known as the tourist destination of all of Indonesia, and of course, it's really a major tourist place for all of Southeast Asia. Mm. So a lot of people from China, from Singapore, from Australia, all of those are actually pretty short flights. Even Vietnam is only a 5-hour flight into Bali. Mm. And so the area has become really touristy. Mm. And of course, then people go, oh boy, that's really tough to have to go to Bali to do ministry.
Right.
And
like, I got a burden for the Bahamas.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's like, well, yes, it is. It's very difficult to go to a tropical place where it's absolutely beautiful and 80 degrees every day. But it is the rainy season. So I woke up a couple mornings and it was 100% humidity. Mm. So some listeners would go, oh, never mind, count me out. Mm. Bali doesn't sound that sweet. Mm. It's rainy season there during November. There was a lot of humidity, but it was 80 degrees every day. It was spectacular as far as weather. Mm-hmm. But that is where some of the relationships have come from. In one of our previous trips, my daughter usually travels with me. She did not this time. But we were in a different area of Indonesia called Jayapura. That's a city, and it's over in the Papua side. So if you can imagine Papua New Guinea right above Australia, and there's a line down the middle of that island, and the east side is Papua New Guinea, but the west side is still Indonesia, and it's called Papua. And so that's actually where our heart for missions is in that area. And in the last trip that we went 3 years ago, there was actually riots in the street that we were caught up in. Mm. So having my 23-year-old daughter and the church services and the plan that we had created, because everyone was afraid to come out of their homes and try to get to an event, it just didn't work. Mm. So we go, well, let's get out of here. Where do we want to go? And so we went into Bali because my missionary friend who is my interpreter there, he had relationships there. So we go, great. Let's get out of this zone of danger right now and head over to Bali. And we built some very nice relationships in Bali on that trip. Well, here we are 3 years later. God knew, I didn't, that indeed COVID would happen and the tourist industry would just come crashing down. And Bali would be a devastated part of Indonesia because 90%+ of their economic life is out of tourism. Yeah. Well, they were closed for 18 months. So they just opened up.
Did their government have the same kind of assistance for businesses that we did?
No, or individuals.
So you were just on your own.
Yeah. Yep. You survived as a community. So it was very ravished. And that was actually one of the reasons why, even though we have a heart for really getting back to Papua, which is one of the more impoverished areas of Indonesia, rich in natural resources, but because Indonesia doesn't share their resources with the people, it's actually a very impoverished area, a very impoverished island. Mm. So we decided that we wanted to take advantage of Bali kind of going through this catastrophe of not being open to anyone. And it even took quite a bit of time before their own people could come to Bali again. So really it was really restricted. And just here 9 months ago, they opened it up back to tourism, maybe even 8 months ago, to where the first international people could come back. And we felt that Bali was the right place to go because of the mentality, which is we talked to some people through the year, and they started to communicate, we don't want to be so reliant upon tourism dollars. We don't want to find ourselves at the next whim of our government, or if there is another world issue going on and tourism slows down, then our whole economy crashes. What else can we do? And well, that's really the passion that I have for Indonesia, which is I want to go and I want to teach business owners or Christian believers how to use biblical principles in running their business. And so because that's the passion, we felt, well, Bali is a great place then, because they're actually looking, their heads are up, looking for other opportunities like they've never looked before, because they don't want to be back in this place. So yeah, it's hard to go to Bali, but it actually was very strategic for us to get back there instead of going to the other place, which is where we usually go, which is Papua. So Bali ended up being the place of this trip, and a great foundation of a new program was laid.
So you're like a Christian business missionary.
Yeah. That's really
Christian Businessmen's Association.
Yeah. Well, maybe not quite that, but yes.
But those are the kind of people, the kind of networking you do is with people who run businesses.
Yeah, that's right. That's really the passion. And in Indonesia, there is a thought process in the church or in Christendom that in order to be a minister, you have to be a pastor, or you have to be working for the church, versus here in America, we have a more broad view, which is marketplace ministry. So even though I am a licensed minister, which not everyone knows, but regardless, I've always viewed my life as a ministry opportunity. So when I became an attorney, I struggled just a little bit, but honestly not too much, with the concept of how do I do this Christianity plus law? Well, I just am who I am is the ultimate bottom line, which is, well, you're going to get me. And so that concept is very foreign to Indonesians, which is they don't see themselves as ministers where God has placed them. They see themselves as Christians, but not as ministers, as an opportunity to use their business to glorify God, to put their trust that God is good and wants their business to increase, wants their business to be self-sustaining for their family, but more than that, sustaining so that more resources can come in through their business model, so that the gospel can be funded to their church, so that Indonesia can then begin to send missionaries out. How is that possible? It can only be possible when the church has resources to support their own people. When the Christian business owners step up to the plate and say, I have been blessed and I want to give to the work of the kingdom. And that concept is not very deeply ingrained in them. And that's really the heart and the passion of going and teaching really what is now a new business program to the Indonesians, so that they can take up and change their viewpoint of who they are in the marketplace. It's not about taking the Bible and beating somebody over the head in the marketplace. It's about running your business in a manner that reflects the goodness and glory of God, and therefore allows His goodness to be seen to a dying world. And then when the question is asked, that you have the boldness to talk about it. So that's the passion and that's the heart. How do we help business people in Indonesia become self-sustaining, first of all? Then they become overwhelmed with the goodness of God, and they have the opportunity to actually give richly and in every way to their church, which can then build the kingdom throughout the islands, throughout Indonesia, and by God's mercy and grace through the world.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week in his missionary life. And if you're interested in what he's doing in Indonesia, maybe you would like to support him and his efforts, or any other questions you might have about estate planning, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website. It's the easiest place to contact us, legacyandfaith.com. Now, there are past podcasts about estate planning. There's ways to communicate with us. I do have a 501c3, so if you are considering that this is moving to you, just contact us. Let us know that you're interested in knowing more about what's happening in Bali.
Okay, back in just a moment with Paul Grant.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, hearing about Paul's recent trip to Indonesia, and more specifically Bali, and a very interesting outreach there. Now, I was asking off air, I thought Indonesia is mostly Muslim.
It is.
But you say it's a little different in Bali.
Yeah, statistically 93% are Muslim in Indonesia, but in Bali it's highly Hindu. So it's very interesting.
All right. Interesting.
You walk in and there's Hindu statues everywhere. So it's a unique island and very similar to Papua, which is a Christian island. Which is also part of why they get so persecuted and oppressed by the Indonesian government. So these two islands are kind of outliers to the norm over there. So yes, you're right.
So
highly Muslim.
Is there anti-proselytizing laws going on? It's okay
not
to talk
so
about
much,
the gospel.
But yes, it is. But churches, so there are thriving churches in Indonesia, but they're not allowed to own property. So they can gather, and they can gather without the fear of persecution. I mean, they have some rather large churches, several thousand people. So they have things that we would call mega churches, and then they have a lot of smaller churches. So meeting together is not the problem, but churches are not allowed to own property in their own name and do some other things that other businesses or individuals would be able to do.
Well, tell us a little bit more about then your outreach. How does your outreach to businesses work there?
Yeah, so I've developed a new program which we are using Bali as a test. So I'm actually going to be going back again in April of 2023. We have a two-day program. So the first day is really talking about really strong business principles that really anyone can utilize. And it's talking about what is your unique gifting. So what thrills you? So we don't want to create a business that that is off-centered or is opposite of what we were naturally created to do by God. So we all have strengths and gifts. So we encourage them to think through whether they're in the right business and how to stay within that gifting, because that gifting energizes somebody. So what are tasks that we have to consider bringing other people into the business to accomplish, because the tasks, you can do them, but you're not great at them, or they drain you completely. You know, some people get drained by people. So then you being a customer service business would probably not be the best business for you to be in.
Right.
So thinking through how to utilize that. They, in Indonesia, they live very day-to-day, specifically financially. And so creating a business plan, creating a financial plan, those are not strong suits, and most business owners have never done that. Mm-hmm. So we talk about building those foundational business principles and why they're good and why they will actually increase somebody's business and take them to the next step. So this first day is intended so that anybody, regardless of religion, so Muslim, Hindu, Christian, no religion at all, everyone and anyone could come to this first day and capture something without it being Christian-based. Now, of course, it's really hard for me when I speak to not talk about who I am, about faith. So I'm not afraid of saying I'm a Christian and this is what I believe, but I'm not intentionally using scripture involved in this first day. We're not intentionally trying to set that out. Rather, the second day then is one spiritual principle that we need to consider in running our business. So in day two, after day one, people come back. And in day two, that is far more strategic and far more intentional with scripture, and it's a and it's a buildup throughout the day of leading to a salvation call.
And the language there is, do you have an interpreter? People speak English, so no English.
Yeah, how I even got to Indonesia was back in the early 2000s, I went to church with a dear person. He is Indonesian, and he was here going to school. And so when that was done and he and his wife's first work visa ran out, they went back to Indonesia, and I've just remained in relationship with him. Well, he's a pastor there, and he has a passion for Papua because that's where he was born. So he lives in Jakarta, but he has a passion for Papua. And really just through that relationship, the door opened up for me to even have an opportunity to go and spread the gospel and business principles in Indonesia. So Isaac is a foundational centerpiece of everything that we do there. As a matter of fact, anytime I go, my passion is, Isaac, how do I serve you? It's not to serve my program. It's not to serve me. It's what his vision is, and how do I support him in what he wants to accomplish in his own country? Mm-hmm. Not a white American, a bule is what they call us. Not me coming in to Indonesia thinking I can save all, change the scope of Indonesia. No, I go and I am a man under submission to support what he is doing. So he's my interpreter. He and I cast vision together. And so fortunately, he's involved.
So he's obviously on board with this approach.
Very much so.
Reaching out to businesses.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And we've been blessed with a new relationship that we really solidified this time in Bali, which is their name is Maju Bali, MajuBali. As a matter of fact, just majubali.com. If you wanted to check them out, there's a translation button. You can hit it to English. They're missionaries from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and their entire purpose is to help business owners thrive in the marketplace. And through that intimate relationship, transform their lives into followers of Christ. And so their vision is very much what my vision is, but they're boots on the ground. And they have a very intense program, a 4+ month program that they lead people through. And they actually get into the weeds of developing a vision, a purpose statement. They get into the weeds of building a budget, and a personal budget as well as a business budget. And how are they going to blend at the beginning of the business compared to in 1 and 2 years when the business starts to take off? They do market analysis. So their program is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And meeting them and actually partnering with them has been a revelation of exactly what Isaac and I can do. And so they are now becoming a major partner to where I can come in, kind of add some energy to teaching good foundational classes, getting people excited about rethinking their business vision, and then hand them off to someone who is boots on the ground and is staying there with the people and leading them through an entire process, a very detailed process. And again, having a budget really is not the thought process. So they are trying to get in a complete dichotomy shift in mindset with locals to think through how do we have a successful business, not how do we just do business or live hand to mouth, and how do we expand that vision to build the kingdom of God through everything that we're doing. And so Madhubali has been a phenomenal relationship that was unexpected.
But also based here in the Northwest, in Coeur d'Alene, you said.
Well, yeah, they're originally from Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. So they've been missionaries there for 5 years. They moved their entire family with their kids. And so they are there. Mm-hmm. And they've been a revelation. They are amazing individuals, just absolutely amazing, solid believers. Really, if any of this is touching your heart and you're thinking, gosh, I would really love to get involved. How do I get involved? Well, number one, you can always do it with finances. I have a 501c3 here in the United States. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. Just hit the contact button. There's no link to my to this work on Legacy and Faith, but just contact us. Year end is coming up. It's a great time to think about supporting nonprofits. And if you wanted to go directly to Madhubali, please do. I mean, I have no offense at all. It doesn't matter how or who you elect to support. Go to them. Go to their website directly. Contact them. They are amazing individuals who are there in Bali doing God's work. And so I encourage you, likewise, listeners, go there. Go check out their website. So you have two different opportunities if this has touched your heart. Contact me. Would love to talk to you about how to get involved. I'd love business owners to get involved. Business owners, if you're out there hearing me, I want to set you up with an individual business owner, because the fullness is that we're actually wanting to build a support base to give micro loans, not grants, but loans to where after they go through the Madhubali process, that then they would be approved for a $500 to $1,000 loan, and they would pay it back over a two-year period. So then it helps a business get off the ground. We need finances to really pull that part of the vision in. Business owners, I would love for your support. Support other businesses. God has blessed you. Let's get this done in Indonesia to where the church can be self-sustaining, where individuals can be self-sustaining for their family and be greater givers and have a vision of kingdom purpose in their lives as their business owners.
Okay, again, how do people partner with you then, find out more about your work in Indonesia or anything else?
Yeah, so whether it's law services or whether it's contacting me about what this is happening, what's happening in Indonesia, head over to legacyandfaith.com, hit the contact us button, shoot us a quick email, we'll get back to you.
Okay, always great stuff. The Heart of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.